Smiles in Crown Hall tonight, folks. 60 minutes of fun music brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste and Sal Hepatica. Ipana for the smile of beauty. Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Fun with our star comedian Fred Allen. Music by Peter Van Steeden. New features, new laughs. It's Town Hall tonight. Listen to that crowd cheer Fred Allen as he heads his weekly parade to the old town hall. Fred's leading the band to the fireman's hat, followed by those false alarms of the drama, the mighty Allen Art Players. Let's join that happy throng. Everybody's going. Everybody's going. Here they come. Home folks.
What are you doing sitting there on the floor, Paul?
I always fall out of my chair laughing when the radio starts. It's Town Hall tonight.
Neighbors.
Well, Minnie, what does your mother want to borrow now?
Ma says, please, can we take your radio for an hour?
It's Town Hall tonight.
Doctor's patient.
Something's wrong with me, Doc. I ain't laughed in a month.
Take my advice and get to a radio at once, Jenkins. It's Town Hall tonight.
Well, here we are on the stage of the old Town Hall, and Peter's starting the overture with Tippy Tippy Tin. Let her go, Pete.
He kept on the steaming and he had a feeling she was satisfied. Tippy tippy tin, tippy tin, tippy tippy tum, tippy tum. She was saying closer, so he held her closer, that's how he complied.
Presenting that belligerent boy blue, bleeding blatant bromides, blistering bleak balderdash, blithering blasting buffaloes, bust and bucolic pumpkin, back bay's bogeyman.
What's his name again?
Who? Fred Allen in person.
Shouldn't have let me out of the closet until after you said boo, Harry. God, leave me out here for a tenth of it. Thank you. Thank you, and good evening. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, here it is Wednesday, and if you've forgotten to hide at home from your radios, we'll wait for you. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. Ready or not, you shall be caught with the Town Hall Bulletin. Hodge White, everybody's grocer, says Sunday is Mother's Day, folks. Now Hodge says get mother conscious and buy that dear, sweet little old lady an ashtray. Don't let mother drop her cigarette ashes on the carpet and make extra work for herself cleaning up around the house later. Hodge says get her an ashtray engraved to my darling mother, or he has larger ones to mom. Now, Hodge says if your mother doesn't smoke, he's got cocktail shakers on display, some new Benny Goodman records, and a new book called Teach Mother to Shag in 4 Easy Lessons. So much for coming. They think they'd fix Radio City here so it wouldn't fall down all the time. So much for they're so busy not letting people in. They let these music stands fall apart. You don't. So much for coming events along the Rialto. And now for the Town Hall news. The curtain, Harry.
It's coming down apace, Fred.
Well, just let it down with no fuddy-duddy, if you can, Harry. Especially with no duddy. The lights go out, and we bring you the latest news of the week. The Town Hall news sees nothing. Should open its eyes occasionally. New York's, those spring fanfares are much better than those old baggy winter fanfares Peter used to have. New York City, New York. The Appellate Division of First and Second Judicial Departments issues a ruling banning broadcasts of court proceedings and forbidding the taking of photographs during court sessions or recesses in New York courtrooms. Town Hall News shows the great difference this may make in the appearance of trials in local courts. First, the old-style trial with photographers, newspaper sob sisters, and radio announcers cluttering up the simple processes of the law. The court opens.
Rise, please. His Honor, Judge Gimmick.
Has the jury reached a verdict?
Yes, Your Honor.
Bring in the prisoner.
Yes, Your Honor.
Hold it, Judge. I gotta set up this microphone.
What microphone? Who are you?
I'm from station WET. We're giving a spot broadcast covering the verdict.
Now, see here, this is no radio studio.
Pipe down, Judge. We're on the air.
No, we're not on the air.
Hello, folks. This is Flash Fink, your pest reporter, coming to you from Judge Gimmick's courtroom through the courtesy of Bill Dad's birdseed. The birdseed that leaves your canary vita fresh.
Order in the court. I can't get a word in.
Here's the prisoner, Judge.
Well, yes. Wild Frollo McGee.
Standing by, Judge.
Yes.
Oh, could I have your autograph, Mr. McGee?
Stand back, lady.
Now, Rollo.
This is Flash Fink again, folks. Wild Rollo McGee is standing before Judge Gimmick. Now, folks, for those who don't remember the case, Wild Rollo killed his girlfriend at Coney Island and left her on the roller coaster. By the time the murder was discovered, the body owed $8 for rides.
Order in the court.
What's the birdie, Judge?
What birdie? Who are you?
I'm just getting a picture for Life magazine. Hold it. Thank you.
Oh, fudge. Prisoner to the bar.
I am at the bar, Judge.
Oh, yes.
Mr. McGee, smile, please.
Smile? I'm up on a murder rap, lady.
Life wants a candid of you laughing.
Laughing at what? I got one hip in the chair right now.
Hold it, Rollo. Thank you.
Now, will you put down that camera, miss?
This is Flash Pink, folks.
Oh, go away.
Wild Rollo just posed for a candid camera shot laughing. And your canary will be laughing, too, if you give him Bill Dad birdseed.
I have order in the court.
Yeah, let's get going, Judge.
I'm trying, Rollo, but these confounded photographers and radio announcers...
Well, give me me sentence and let me scram, will you, Judge?
Now, just a moment, Rollo. I don't know whether you're guilty yet.
Well, ask the jury. What are we waiting for?
All right, I will ask.
Oh, just a minute, Judge.
Oh, my sacred aunt.
I'm Sally Pride from the Morning Tab.
Get away, lady.
Oh, Mr. McGee, our readers would love your favorite recipe.
Take one egg and beat it, lady.
Now, see here.
This is Flash Pink, folks. Sally Pry of the Morning Tab tried to get Wild Rollo's favorite recipe. He wheeled on her and hissed through clenched teeth. Lamb, Maul, or I'll bump you off.
I didn't say that. Get me
now, the foreman of the jury's getting up, folks. Stand by for the verdict.
Just a minute. I'm the judge. Can I get a word in here edgewise?
Yeah, folks, give the judge a break.
Thank you, Rollo.
You're welcome, Judge.
Foreman of the jury... Have you reached a verdict?
The defendant is guilty of murder in the second degree.
Well, it's about time.
The jury having found you guilty, Wild Frollo McGee, I hereby sentence you...
Oh, hold it, Judge.
Oh, for heaven.
Oh, Mr. McGee, what's passing through your mind as you're being sentenced?
If you knew, lady, you'd drop dead.
Why, you insolent felon.
I hereby sentence you... Are you listening, Rollo?
Yeah, let's have it, Judge.
If I can get it in, I sentence you to 20 years.
Well, thanks, Judge.
This is Flash Pink, folks. Wild Rollo McGee gets 20 years. I'm going to try and get Judge Gimmick and Wild Rollo to say a few words. Will you say a few words to the radio audience, Judge?
Go away!
That was Judge Gimmick, folks. And now that game little guy that got 20 years for killing his girlfriend on a roller coaster, Wild Rollo McGee.
Hello, Ma. I won't be right home.
Thanks, Rollo. This is Flash Pink,
just folks. One more picture, Rollo.
Order.
Now hold it.
Order.
Let me through.
That
was the old trial with its hurly-burly, the drone of the radio announcer, the flash of the photographer's bulbs, and the noise of the crowd of autograph seekers and curious. But, with these elements banned, from now on, justice can be meted out in peace. The same trial in the future may terminate like this.
Wild Rollo McGee.
Yeah, Judge.
The court sentences you to 20 years.
Thanks, Judge. A pleasure.
Court's adjourned.
New York City, New York.
World's Fair Committee announces that fireworks display designed for the 1939 World's Fair will be most spectacular pyrotechnic exhibition ever produced. Town Hall News interviews little-known firework authority to get a rough idea of the magnitude of this forthcoming sky pageant. Mr. Kendall Rocket. Mr. Rocket.
Thank you, folks.
Do you think that the World's Fair fireworks display will live up to its advance notices, Mr. Rocket?
All I can say is, and I'm quoting Grover Whalen, it's going to be an extravaganza of beauty and fury, unquote.
Would you care to say for publication, then, that the fireworks will be exceptional?
All I know is, and I'm quoting Grover again, it's going to be the nearest approach to chaos that man can contrive for purposes of sheer entertainment. Unquote.
Well, I imagine this skyrocket rodeo will be a thing of sheer decibel and blinding hubbub.
It's going to look like the sky is getting a hot foot, brother.
Well, how much is the fireworks display going to cost, Mr. Rocket?
$700,000.
$700,000. Do you think that the taxpayers will go, ah, and oh, when they see it?
I don't know if they'll ah, brother, but they're sure going to.
New York City, New York. The city of New York agrees to buy the 6th Avenue elevated lines from Locan Traction Company for some... The altitude, just mentioning the thing upsets me. The city of New York agrees to buy the 6th Avenue elevated lines from Local Traction Company for some reputed to be $4 million. Real estate men agree if elevated structure is demolished, 6th Avenue property values will increase greatly. Town Hall News questions realty owner to get first-hand opinion. Now, Mr. Escrow, if the elevated is torn down, what will it do to 6th Avenue?
It'll make a hell of a difference, mister.
Thank you. Thank you. And now the Merry Max, ladies and gentlemen. They're about to swing Good Night, Ladies. Depend on the newspapers to let you know what's what in the big leagues. But it remains for the old town hall to let you know what the little leaguers are doing. The scene, a high school athletic field, the time right now. The coach says...
All right, fellows, go home and get a good night's sleep. 4 o'clock sharp tomorrow. Okay. Right, hey, Reed.
Yes, coach?
Whoever told you were a shortstop? Nobody's going to hit the ball right into your mitt, you know. You got to move for it. And you ran the bases like you were carrying a friend piggyback.
Gee, I'm sorry, Coach, but I don't feel so good today. I guess it must be the weather.
I'll tell you what I guess it is. Too many hot dogs and ice cream cones. Topped off with a lot of ginger ale. Now, what did you have for lunch today?
Chocolate soda.
I thought so. Now, listen, Reese. If you want to keep on your toes, eat regularly and eat right. Tell you what you do. Got any salipatica home?
Yeah. Mom always has it in the medicine chest.
Well, when you get home, take 2 teaspoonfuls and a glass of water. And my advice is, after this, stop eating like you were at a circus.
And that is mighty good advice. All of it. For there are times when even a youngster in high school has that headachy, listless feeling that says, take a laxative. And that's the time to take Sal Hepatica. Not only because as a laxative, Sal Hepatica brings you quick relief, but because as an antacid, Sal Hepatica also counteracts gastric acidity. And naturally, that gives you a speedy comeback. Soon your head's clearer, your pep's back, and you're on your toes again fast. Thanks to the double health of Sal Hepatica.
Have just played Japanese Sandman. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I know you didn't expect to meet...
Say, who is our unexpected guest this evening, Fred?
Well, tonight, Harry, you are going to meet a most unusual gentleman. 4 years ago, he started in business with a borrowed motorcycle and the down payment on an automobile. And today he holds every known record in automobile stunting. And his thrill circus has broken attendance records at all of the leading fairs in the United States and Canada.
Oh, a professional daredevil, huh?
Yes, Harry. He makes a living flirting with death. He stages head-on collisions with 2 automobiles going 50 miles an hour. He drives off a ramp and sails 112 feet in the air over 12 cars. He rolls over in a car and does anything else you can conceive of an automobile doing on or off the terra firma.
Jeff will say, this interview's going to be exciting.
No understatements, Harry. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I know you didn't expect to meet Lucky Teeter. Good evening, Mr. Teeter.
Good evening, Fred.
You mind if I call you Lucky?
No, I guess I'm lucky to be here, Fred.
Well, Lucky, I can't tell you what a thrill it is to meet a man who has done the things you have done and who is still alive and here to talk about them.
I get the same kick out of meeting you, Fred.
Yes, I guess after some of the things I've done on the air, it's a miracle that I'm alive and here tonight, too. But since facing death is your business, Lucky, how does it feel going around inviting the Grim Reaper to mow you down?
I never think of my work as facing death, Fred. To me, it's just a lot of fun.
Just a lot of fun, huh? Have you been having any fun lately?
Oh, yes. Only last week I gave a show down in Memphis.
Well, what were some of the hilarious antics you indulged in Memphis?
Well, I crashed a car through a flaming wooden barrier going 60 miles an hour, and then I rolled over in a car several times.
Well, say, that's some fun, isn't it? You must have had quite a time developing your sense of humor, Lucky. But tell me, how did you get started as a daredevil? Did you just fill in that coupon?
No, Fred. As a kid, I lived in Noblesville, Indiana.
Noblesville?
Yes, it's near Indianapolis. And those 500-mile speed races always fascinated me.
Well, did you acquire ambitions to become a speed demon when you grew up?
Yes, and I finally made it, Fred. Then in 1933, I took up stunt driving as a business.
Why in 1933?
Well, that year, the companies came out the all-steel-bodied cars,
uh-huh.
And I went to the company and offered to roll over downhill in a closed car for publicity purposes. They refused me a car, so I bought one of my own.
Now, where did you go to try this stunt?
Oh, to a state fair, and I wanted to be the first one in the world to roll a car over.
Well, if up to that time rolling over in a car meant a fatal accident, weren't you concerned about the danger involved?
Oh, it wasn't the danger that worried me, Fred.
No, what then?
I was afraid that when I came tearing down the track and the time came, I wouldn't have nerve enough to twist the wheel and make the car turn over.
You weren't afraid of being killed. You were afraid you wouldn't have nerve enough to give yourself a chance to be killed.
That's right. That's what the crowd pays to see, you know.
Well, what happened when you finally started the car?
Well, the second time around the track, I was hitting 60. I twisted the wheel almost without thinking. That car started to do things, and there was a lot of grinding and crashing.
And?
Finally, the car stopped right side up. Everything was quiet.
Including you?
Yes, I was sort of bewildered, Fred. I didn't know whether I'd been rolling over or just kidding around.
Well, what is the first thing you did?
My assistant ran up and opened the door. I said, did I turn over? He said, and how? I said, good, get me out of here.
Well, that fair crowd must have been plenty excited.
I don't know. On the way out, I heard one farmer say, it sure beats all what some folks will do to keep them working.
Well, you ought to stand here and hear what people say after a broadcast. It's interspersed with other remarks, which we don't bring up as a rule on the air. And after this feat, then, you embarked on your daredevil career.
Yes, I accepted an offer from the company, the automobile company, to do my stunts in its cars exclusively.
Well, I'm not going to ask you to betray a confidence, Lucky, and divulge the name of the car.
Thanks, Fred. The Plymouth Company might be offended.
The Plymouth Company, huh? Say, we ought to send a bill to Major Bowes for this. Well, maybe some night the Major will salute Ipanner and Salapatica, and we'll call it square. But tell me, how many times have you rolled over in cars since 1933?
Well, I've turned over 536 automobiles, and I roll over two or three times. That would make over 1,000 revolutions.
1,000 revolutions? Say, that's just a day's work to the president of a South American republic. It's really amazing that you're still alive, though, isn't it?
Well, they call me Lucky, Fred.
Well, can't be all luck. You've worked out your stunt scientifically to eliminate the danger as far as possible.
Yes, Fred, but still they've carried me to the hospital 23 times.
Have you kept a diary listing your injuries?
Oh, yes. I've had 12 ribs broken, 2 collarbone fractures. I've had 176 stitches taken in various parts of my body.
Well, haven't you ever thought of quitting?
Many times, Fred. But here I am, still crashing automobiles. There's something fascinating about it. You know, the roar of the motor and the smell of the dust.
Yes, and radio's just as fascinating, Lucky. Why, I'd be lost without the roar of the sponsor and the smell of the jokes. It does something to you, Lucky.
I can see it's done something to you, Fred.
No. Now this shaking is a little palsy I picked up demonstrating electric races. But tell me, how do you protect yourself doing those stunts? I imagine you are well padded all over.
No, I just wear goggles and a crash helmet.
And a street suit, of course.
Oh, naturally.
Naturally. I should think with all of the bouncing around you get, padding would be helpful.
The only trouble is, Fred, I never get bounced twice in the same place. It's hard to tell where to put the padding.
Well, that's the machine age for you. Now, if you were working with horses instead of cars, you'd know exactly where the padding should go.
Well, you know, a horse wouldn't last long in my business, Fred.
No, I guess you can't do much rolling around on a horse. Say, I'd like to drop in and see you someday, Lucky, and just watch you in action.
Well, I'm working every week. And say, May the 29th, I'm giving a show at Indianapolis.
Well, that's before the big Memorial Day race, isn't it? Well, I'll try and make it. Tell me, Lucky, with thoughts of impending danger roving your subconscious, do you ever have any trouble sleeping?
No, I sleep like a baby, Fred.
You never have to induce sleep by tuning in on a certain radio comedian Sunday night.
No, I can just drop off in 5 minutes anyplace. And times I even take a nap between stunts. I'm starting to feel just a little drowsy right now, Fred.
You're feeling a little well, I'm not surprised, Lucky. That's the effect I generally have on strangers. I'm sort of a social narcotic. The dope in me lulls people. But before you drop off, Lucky, I want to thank you a lot for this little visit tonight.
It's been a pleasure, Fred, to drop in. I guess I'll run over to the hotel now and take a quick nap.
You going
to
walk over?
No, I always take a cab, Fred.
Well, it's only 2 blocks. Why don't you walk it?
Not me. I'm not risking my life crossing these New York streets in traffic.
Well, happy cabbing, and thanks a lot, Lucky.
Good night, Fearless Fred.
Fearless Fred, eh? And good night to you, Lucky Teeter. And thanks. Now the Town Hall Quartet, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, the boys journey below the Mason and Dixon line vocally to bring you Dixieland Band.
The Dixieland Band. Let me tell you, brother, that the music was grand. They had piano and a clarinet. Only thing they needed was a second cornet. And that's what led to the ruin of the Dixieland Band. He'd play so sweetly, much too sweetly. Instead of playing, get hot, he could not. Sure enough, the guns, oh, they couldn't play right. Finally, he fixed them on a Saturday night. He hit a figure that was off the court. Apoplexy got him, and he went to the Lord. And that's a pitiful story, the story of the Dixieland Band.
Now they're up in heaven and they're happy at last.
Oh, they found a trumpet man who really could blast.
The way he swings them is an awful shame, oh.
Why not? Mr. Gabriel is the name.
And now, folks, here is a sample. Listen to the Dixieland Band.
Now the first trumpet player, he was all set. And here's how he played on his old cornet.
Now old Gabriel stepped right up and says he, I can play the same thing in a entirely different key.
Now the clarinet player was a-sitting close by, and he had a most peculiar gleam in his eye. Said he, you boys can't outdo me. My text for this evening is the key of G.
If you hear the trumpets and the clarinets sway,
don't you be afraid, it's a judgment day.
It's Gabe and the boys just fixing to play. And the Dixieland Band, and the Dixieland Band is here to stay.
Concern themselves with the book of the month, the play of the year, or the battle of the century, but it remains for the old town hall to cover the thought for the week. Did it ever occur to you that when a young man meets a young lady for the first time, he almost invariably says to her,
I'm awfully glad to meet you.
Then she smiles, and sometimes he says to himself,
oh, geez, she was so pretty until she smiled.
That's why we say to you, ladies and gentlemen,
don't let a dull, dingy smile spoil your attractiveness. Take the advice of the dentists who say, use Ipana toothpaste and massage. because they know that Ipana is made to help improve your smile. Not only by cleaning and brightening your teeth, bright and sparkling, when your gums are tender and soft, why not decide right now, ladies and gentlemen, that beginning tomorrow, you'll do this. Every time you brush your teeth with Ipana, you'll put a little extra Ipana on your fingertip or on a new double-duty toothbrush and massage it on your gums. Help yourself to healthier gums, brighter teeth, and the kind of smile that wins more admiration by using Ipana. Ladies and gentlemen, Town Hall tonight will continue immediately after a brief pause for your station identification.
Sheila Van Steeden and the Ipana Troubadours have just played Wake Up and Live. Now, on Saturday afternoon, the committee, the same committee that previewed the World's Fair last Saturday, will preview a man who is leaving New York to drive to the World's Fair. The man, a Mr. Trask, is leaving by the way of the 59th Street Bridge next Saturday morning and hopes to arrive in Flushing by May
1939. Mr. Owen! Mr. Owen!
Yes, yes, I heard you both times.
Hello.
Well, sir, they laughed when I said I'd have to take it on the eggplant. They didn't know a vegetarian never takes it on the lamb. I thought it was better than that, confidential. If it isn't Portland.
Yes, and am I tired tonight?
Well, you didn't have to bother coming over. We'd have filled in. Harry would have made some faces or something. What made you so, besides that one he's got made already, which is so... What made you so tired? Do you think it's this heat getting you?
Oh, I'll say. It was so hot yesterday, my charm bracelet melted into a lump.
Your charm bracelet melted into a lump. Well, that's nice. Now it matches your head, which is something. It sure has been hot. You know, I heard something bubbling when I was walking along the street yesterday, and I pulled up the leg of my trousers, and would you believe it, the water on my knee was perking. I wrote Ripley. I haven't heard from him yet. An honest dollar on the side, you know, Tuesday night, I'm not doing anything. Go over with Bob, my kneecap perking. Clear that Ripley name, will you, while we're talking here.
Hello, Portland.
Oh, hello, Harry. Gosh, you look tired.
Yeah, I didn't sleep all night.
Yeah? Well, you don't look so bad for you. Did the heat bother you, Harry?
Did the heat bother me? Listen, last night I dreamed I was an Indian. Was I hot in that blanket?
Oh, I know just how you felt, Harry.
You could have dreamed a funnier character. I mean, as long as you were dreaming, an Eskimo might have been funny, hotter in that igloo.
I don't know. Did you also dream that you were an Indian, Portland?
Oh, no, but one night last winter, I dreamed I was a ghost. I nearly froze to death in that one sheet.
She could
the
have
Indian,
dreamed a better one,
too. Yes. Your father, well, did I ever tell you, too, about the night I dreamed I was Sitting Bull and I was sitting on a thistle? Did I yell in my sleep?
Couldn't you get up?
Well, I wouldn't have been Sitting Bull if I got up, would I?
Hi, Stooges.
Stooges, eh? Who put the U in Stooges? Say, if I wasn't particular about the company I keep, Mr. Van Steeden, I'd picket you.
Oh, yeah? What's a picket? Nothing but a pedestrian with a grievance.
Say, he's got something there, and I hope he keeps it to himself.
I read where they're making a special suit now for Pickett.
A suit for Pickett?
Uh-huh. It's just a sign with two pair of pants.
I don't know. Maybe we ought to abandon the whole thing. In other words, this suit with the sign and two pairs of pants, in other words, it's nothing. And speaking of nothing, this would be a swell place to insult Benny if I could only think of something.
Say, have you heard from Jack lately, Fred?
Well, no. But I saw a woodpecker fly by the other day with a big lump on his head he got at Benny's house.
Oh, did Jack hit the bird on the head, Mr. Allen?
No, no. It seems there are so many knot holes in Benny's lumber, this woodpecker's bill kept slipping through and banging his forehead. You see, like...
Well, I think it's going to be a swell house when Jack gets it finished.
What do you mean, a house? Benny is putting oar locks on all the windows.
Oar locks? For what?
For what? So when the house blows into the swimming pool, he can row it back onto his lock.
Gee, Jack certainly seems to be having a lot of trouble with his place, Fred.
They tell me Mary closed a window the other day and every doorknob in the joint fell off.
Do you think Jack's getting gypped, Mr. Allen?
Well, all I know is his relatives are building the house, and you know what relatives will do to you every time. You know, I heard the building inspector took a look at the place and gave Benny 10 minutes to get his house out of town.
Well, Jack can always fall back on his Maxwell.
Say, his Maxwell fell back on him last Friday.
No kidding, Fred. What happened?
Well, every year, the boys at the Fresno State College in California have an old automobile race. And this year, Benny entered his Maxwell. So the boys at Fresno, lovers of fair play to a man, entered a 1923 Studebaker for me.
Oh, did your Studebaker win, Mr. Allen?
Why, my car came in so far ahead of Benny's that people thought his Maxwell was my trailer. Come in.
Mail?
Oh, it's a postman, Mr. Allen.
I know the uniform. I've gotten letters before. What is it, son?
Special delivery for Peter Van Steeden. Thanks.
Anything? He's not deaf, is he? You're deaf? Anything for me, Alan?
Huh? Oh, yeah, here's a postcard.
What does it say on it?
I ain't no stool pigeon. So long.
Say, they're not giving the service. They used to read them for you, you know. Yeah. Say, this postcard is registered. It must be important.
Yeah, well, what does it say, Fred?
Let me see. It's from the Temperance Mission, Bowery, New York. It says, Dear Mr. Allen, our mission is giving a series of lectures on the curse of drink. We have had a horrible example sitting on the platform to show the ravages of rum. Yesterday, our derelict passed away. Can you report tomorrow night? Well, of all the official insults...
What do you expect with that nose? It looks like the top of a parfait.
My nose... Now, listen. I always keep a little extra blood in my nose for transfusion. I'm like the camel, only on the other side. I'm no drinking man.
Well, all I know is the varnish has gone off your side of the microphone.
Do you infer that I am a sly imbiber of paint remover?
Oh, don't argue, fellas. What does your letter say, Peter?
Dear Maestro Van Steeden, when you celebrated your anniversary this year, you didn't play your nosophone. Thousands of music lovers were disappointed. Please play your nosophone tonight. Signed, a friend of Toscanini's.
A friend of Toscanini's?
Gosh, a request. It's the first one we've ever had on the program.
No. I've had some requests I haven't told you folks about.
Say, Pete, it's too bad you haven't got your nosophone with you.
With my luck, he's got it, Harry.
You're right, Heckler. I've got it right here.
I knew it.
Have you played your nosophone lately, Pete?
No, I'll try it out now.
Oh, boy, some tone there, Pete.
Yeah, the old nose has lost none of its cunning.
What do you think you'll play, Peter?
Oh, I don't know. I have so many numbers up my nose.
A good sneeze will ruin your repertoire.
Yeah, Pete, and don't forget, you're playing for a friend of Toscanini.
Arturo.
Yeah, that's right. I ought to do something big.
Hey, what about an ensemble, Peter? I can lead the orchestra.
I can sing, Pete.
That's swell.
Say, if this is going to be a mass symphonic suicide, I'm playing the clarinet. I always carry a clarinet in case I meet a man with a nosophone. It's a soft sort of self-defense. Wait till I try the clarinet. Yep, I'm ready. Wait a minute, let me get in. I might get a laugh, you know. It could happen. I'm ready. Okay, Mr. Bonzell, take it away.
Daddy, dear, I'm ready. I'm a good boy.
One, two, boys. I'm ready.
Okay, let's go.
It up just when you were going that way. I tell you, I was thinking about caviar, and I played two of those little things. That's yeah. What did. Well, you go ahead, Peachy. I shouldn't have done it. I'll hang my head. Nothing can follow that. We just ought to sweep up and go home now. And now, to remove the echo of this symphony mulligan from your ears, ladies and gentlemen, the Merry Max sing where they've been hiding the last 10 minutes in the shade of the new apple tree.
Thank you. Gentlemen, I feel it's time that someone took exception to that old adage that opportunity knocks but once.
Well, why? What's wrong with that, Fred?
Well, for one thing, Harry, it's inaccurate. Opportunity knocks lots of times.
Oh, well, I guess you're right at that, Fred. If we all look back over what's happened to us since we left school, we might pick out several times when opportunity was knocking. Maybe the day you applied for a job or the day the big boss sent for you. And how you were feeling that day was pretty important. That's why it's a good thing to feel at your best every day, ladies and gentlemen. Suppose you wake up tomorrow feeling headachy and logy. You'll probably take a laxative. But if you take something with a laxative action only, you'll be doing nothing to help counteract the accompanying gastric acidity. That's why, like so many physicians, we earnestly advise the use of sal hepatica. And for these two very important reasons.
As a laxative, sal hepatica removes accumulated wastes, both quickly and gently. And as an antacid, sal hepatica also counteracts gastric acidity.
So you can readily understand why sal hepatica gives you a fast comeback. Why your head is soon clearer and your pep's back again. Don't feel under par on the day opportunity knocks for you, ladies and gentlemen. Buy a bottle of sal hepatica from your nearest druggist tomorrow.
Peter Van Steeden and the Ipana Troubadours have just given you a few bars of Love Walked Right In. If you like the number, ladies and gentlemen, tear off the top of your radio, and the remaining eight bars will be sent you promptly. Oh, first nail the top of your radio in, of course. And now, ladies and gentlemen, just don't tear it off and leave it around the house. We would be very happy to take care of it here. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the mighty Alan R. Players. Tonight, they present a circus murder mystery called Who Killed the Hula Hula Dancer? Or they rounded up the Siamese twins and put two and two together. Over to you, Peter. Now step right up and see the greatest show on earth, a four-ring circus. See the world's greatest freaks, Flame-O, the fire eater, Jojo, the dog-faced boy, Big Bertha, the fat lady.
How fat is she, mister?
How fat? There's $25 reward, son, to anyone who can find her lap. Big Bertha's so fat, when she sits down, she splashes. See Hercules, the strong boy. Now gather in a little closer, folks, for our big free show. First, presenting Jojo, the dog-faced boy. Jojo! Say hello to the folks, Jojo. That's how you're feeling, folks, and dogs. How many days in the week, Jojo?
Hey, that's only five.
Jojo's in favor of a five-day week, brother. From the trio. Now, here's a bone for you, Jojo.
Thanks, boss.
Next, presenting Ivan the Magnificent, the Russian trapeze marvel. Baskunyak. That's house tricks in Russian, folks. Tell the folks what you do in the big show, Ivan.
Ivan the Magnificent is making triple somersault on the flying trapeze. Sensational!
And that's not half of it. And now presenting our feature attraction, Mona Mona, the hula hula dancer. Mona shakes like the license plate on a used car, friends. Mona, Mona! Mona! Hey, Mona! Hey, where's Mona Schultz?
Well, I ain't seen her, Wendy.
Well, Mona's on. Where is she?
Wait a minute. Here comes Big Bertha, the fat lady.
Oh, Wendy.
Hey, what's up, Bertha?
Oh, Wendy.
Quit puffing, Bertha.
Oh, you gotta come quick, Wendy. It's Mona.
I knew something was the matter. Hey, Schultz.
Yeah, Wendy?
Start the band. I'll be back in a minute.
Yeah, musicus. Make with the umpath.
Come on, Bertha. Duck around this tent.
Phew! Hold it, Windy, till the rest of me turns the corner.
There's enough of you here to talk, ain't there? Now, where's Mona Mona?
Mona Mona's been murdered, Windy.
Murdered?
Yeah. Are you going to call the cop?
Not me. I can handle this alone.
There's a bullet hole in Mona's head, Windy. It's awful.
Now, keep your tent on, Bertha. Where's the body?
Right here in the freak house.
Okay. Pick up some of that fat. It's dragging. Let's go. Quiet, you freaks. If this is a whodunit, whodunit?
Not me.
Quiet, everybody. You too, Flamo. Sit down. This ain't no time for fire eating.
I'm hungry, Windy. I was just going to light me cigarette lighter for a snack.
You can grab a blaze later, can't you?
Okay. Hi-ho, hi-ho.
Oh, here, hey, stop singing near me with that hot breath. Now, look, you burned a big hole in me alpaca.
Well, I'm sorry, Windy.
Say, who left this grass on the floor?
That's the body, Windy.
Oh, I see. Mona was shot in a hula hula dress. Now, let me look around. A bullet hole right back of the ear. Where was Mona when this shot was fired?
She was sitting in her booth.
Yeah, she just come in from the main tent.
Okay, Flamo. Now, come clean, one of you freaks. Who killed Mona Mona?
Not me.
Well, who seen the gun?
Nobody seen nothing, Windy. We was all sitting on our own platform.
Yeah. You can't see nothing with them wooden partitions between.
Now, somebody seen something. Where's me rubber man, Boncho?
Right here, Windy.
Who shot Mona Mona?
I don't know, Windy. I was here putting a blowout patch on her, cutting me leg.
You seen her come in, didn't you?
Yeah, she come out of the main tent. It was right after Ivan the Magnificent fell off his trapeze.
You didn't have no grudge against Mona Mona, Boncho.
No, but I'm sore at Hercules.
The strong boy? Why?
When he wants to throw notes to dames in the crowd, he uses my arm for a slingshot.
Well, quit burning up, will you? I could smell you vulcanizing.
Yeah, I'm getting hot under the collar.
Well, cool off. Now, who's next?
I don't know nothing about it.
Who sent that?
It's me, Beatrice, the bearded lady.
Yeah, wasn't you here? Where was you?
I was out getting a permanent in my goatee.
You was late for the show?
Yeah, the barber was trying to talk me into a windblown Van Dyke.
I ought to dock you.
You try it. I got two offers to play left field with the House of David.
I'm only kidding, Auntie B. Did Mona have any boyfriends?
She was going with that Cossack trapeze phony.
Ivan the Magnificent?
Yeah, they had a fight or something. He quit taking her out.
Wasn't she out watching him on the trapeze tonight?
She's been watching him every night.
Yeah, every time Mona went out, Ivan fell off the trapeze.
Something must have been making that Russian nervous. Hercules.
Yeah, Windy.
Go over to the dressing tent, will you? Tell Ivan the Magnificent I gotta see him.
Okay.
Now, let me see.
Hi-ho, hi-ho.
Oh, quit singing, Flamo. You just burned off one of me celluloid cuffs.
Okay, I'll hum.
And quit, that's worse even. And quit lighting them matches and licking them. I never seen such a glutton. Now, let me pull myself together. While I'm waiting for Ivan, I'll grill you other freaks. Where's Benjamin Bessie, me half-man, half-woman?
I'm right
here, Windy.
Hey, one voice at a time, Benjamin Bessie.
I can't help it.
When I get nervous,
I talk in both voices.
Quiet. Now, who killed Mona Mona?
I don't know.
Windy.
Okay. Stay here, both halves of you now, till this murder song.
Nuts.
Now, I knew the lady half wouldn't say that. I had me eye on you, Benjamin. Now, who's next?
Stop pushing. Who is jostling Ivan the Magnificent? He's nudging dynamite.
Quiet, you.
Taking the hand from the collar, muscle bound. Okay, Windy?
Yeah, turn him loose, Hercules.
For a minute, I am feeling I am back in Moscow.
Now, quiet, Cossack. Who killed Mona Mona, me hula hula dancer?
How am I to know? I am sitting in my tent, playing Russian bank, with no cards and no money.
You ain't kidding me. Mona jilted you. She had you so upset you couldn't stay on your trapeze. You sneaked in here and shot her.
Now, you are forgetting. I am jilting Mona Mona. So why am I jealous?
Now, listen, Cossack. You're the only guy in me whole circus who had a motive.
So also I am having an alibi. What time was the shooting?
About 8:00.
Uh-huh. At 8 o'clock promptly, Ivan the Magnificent is hanging by the teeth on the trapeze.
Yeah.
At 8:01, I am sneezing and falling off.
Yeah.
But at 8:02, I am back flying through the air with the greatest of ease.
Ivan's got a perfect alibi, boss.
Something is rotten in Denmark.
So I am from Nizhny Novgorod.
Quiet, quiet, please, Paul. Somebody fired that gun. Now, where's Big Bertha?
I didn't say nothing, Wendy. I heard the shot and waddled out to tell you.
What was you doing before Mona was shot, Bertha?
I was fixing some flowers the midget picked for me this morning.
Yeah? What flowers?
Oh, these here on the platform, see? Daisies, buttercups, and goldenrod.
Goldenrod? Take it away!
Hey, what started that sneezing, Ivan?
It's mine hay fever. The goldenrod is making me to sneeze.
You got hay fever, hey?
Don't say hay!
That's all I want to know. Mona always worked in a grass skirt. Hercules, hand me one of them skirts on that chair.
Yeah, here you are, Winnie.
Thanks. Take a deep breath of these hay knickers, Cossack.
No! Taking it away!
Yeah? Your jig's up, Ivan. You murdered Mona, the hula dancer.
He who is laughing last is having the joke explained.
Oh, yeah? You was going with Mona, wasn't you?
I am refusing to answer.
You admitted you killed her, don't you?
I am also killing Cock Robin, maybe?
Mona knew you had hay fever. That's why she was walking under your trapeze when you were swinging by your teeth.
Where is Elmer, I am asking?
She knew you'd have to sneeze and fall off the trapeze.
I'm sending for Leibovitz.
She was getting even. You warned her in broken English.
Has anybody here seen Kelly?
She wouldn't stop, so tonight you shot her.
Look. I will asking only one question, Botinsky.
You're guilty, ain't you?
How am I guilty, Domox? 5,000 people are seeing me on my flying trapeze when shot is fired. Even in Russia, such a case we are throwing out of court.
That's right, Wendy.
He couldn't shoot her if he wasn't here, Wendy.
Yeah, that's what's got me puzzled.
Hi-ho, hi-ho.
Will you quit singing, Flame-O? There goes me other celluloid cup.
Oh, I forgot, Wendy.
Say, that gives me an idea, Flame-O. You got the next booth to Mona, ain't you?
Yeah, but I didn't see nothing. There's a wood partition in between.
A wood partition?
Yeah.
Mona was shot behind the right ear. The bullet must have come from your booth, Flame-O.
I didn't do it, Wendy, honest.
Now, there ought to be a bullet hole in that partition. Let me examine that wood. No, there's no hole in it. Wait a minute. What's this embedded in the wood?
Where?
Right here. It's an empty shell. The bullet's been shot off.
And who is shooting it, wise guy?
I'll tell you who shot it.
Don't tell.
You shot it, Ivan the Magnificent.
Me?
You buried this cartridge in the wooden partition.
Poppycock.
You knew Flame-O singing around his booth with that fire eater's breath would explode that cartridge and fire the bullet that would kill Mona.
I think I will catching a promenade in the patio.
Grab him, Hercules.
I got him, Wendy.
You better come clean, Ivan.
Dog, I am a Russian.
Well, come the way you are, then. You killed Mona.
Yes. Confidentially, I did. It was either her or me. To getting even, she is walking under the trapeze with the grass slacks to making me sneeze. I am afraid one day she is killing me,
So
first I am killing her.
You know what you'll get for this?
Exactly. I am a trapeze act. I will going to Swing Swing.
Sing Sing is too good for you. There's only one jail where a prisoner with hay fever can suffer enough.
Not there.
Yes, Alfalfatres, Ivan.
Alfalfa. Shit.
Gesundheit and let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, before we pass around the hors d'oeuvres from next week's Feast of Comedy, I'd like to leave you with a verbal handshake. To all of our friends whose purchases of IPAN and Sal Hepatica are making our Wednesdays together possible, our sincere thanks. And Harry would like to leave you with this suggestion.
To all those who have yet to discover the extra benefits of an ideal toothpaste and an ideal laxative, may we suggest that you buy and try IPAN toothpaste for the smile of beauty, Sal Hepatica, for the smile of health. IPANA, Sal Hepatica.
Thank you, Harry. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, next Wednesday evening, Town Hall tonight brings you comedy. Drama.
Darling, I'll follow you to the ends of the earth.
Yeah, I'll drive, stupid. You ride back in the trailer.
People you didn't expect to meet.
A professional baby minder. If you're in your second childhood, don't miss him.
And music.
The National Broadcasting Company.